Well, our bowling has consistently been our strongest suit in Test cricket. Yes, they have not had the sort of big returns that our bowlers would have hoped, but I had the opportunity to experience New Zealand conditions, get a feel for what's required. And I think, especially in the first 3-day game, I think managing the ball was a little bit of an issue. Playing with a Kookaburra ball as opposed to the Duke's ball with a higher seam, and the conditions, even though in that 3-day match it was sunny on the second and third day, it was also freezing cold at the same time. So you're not able to put saliva on the ball. You're not really producing much perspiration. So managing the ball, preparing the ball, and keeping it in a condition to get some movement and things from it was a bit of a challenge. But I understand that it was a little better in the 4-day game. But still, I think though the bowling unit would be better prepared going into the test match.
All right, Roger, we're not going to keep you too much longer. We just have to pause for our business calls and we'll wrap. Of course, Mason and Guest is brought in association with our very good friends at Barbados Lottery, promoting new sport and culture.
Dream car, dream house, dream vacation. They could all be yours with tonight's whopping $4,190,000 Super Lotto jackpot. The Super Lotto draw is tonight, Friday, November 27th. So get your Super Lotto tickets now from Barbados Lottery agents islandwide. And you could be living your dream as a Super Lotto millionaire. Super Lotto, you gotta be in it to win it.
All right, Doc, of course, you got a question or two for Mr. Harper before he goes in terms of the test series, Doc?
Yes, Andrew. Roger, in terms of the setup of the test team, do you get comfort in having Blackwood, Hetmyer, and Campbell, considering their aggressive approach and lack of consistency being three of your top batsmen within the group for the test squad?
Well, Blackwood was one of our better players in England, and we're looking forward to him sort of building on that performance here in New Zealand. Campbell has an opportunity to really establish himself at the top here. So, I suppose he is aware of the questions being asked of him. And I think I'm looking forward to him really taking the opportunity here to really establish himself and score big in this test series. Hetmyer, he is at the moment still in the concussion protocol. So, whether he's available for the test matches is another thing.
Roger has.
Hey, go ahead. Go ahead, Andrew.
No, Doc.
Go ahead.
I'll come after you, Doc. Doc, I'll come after you.
No. Roger, are you concerned about the progress and the development of Mr. Hetmyer?
Well, as I've said in the past, I really think he has the natural ability to be one of the best players in the world. But of course, that it takes a lot more than just raw talent. It takes also a lot of mental skills as well. And I'm really looking forward to him at a faster rate, developing those mental skills and the application to go along with his ability. So, yes, it's taking some time, but I'm really optimistic about that coming along and coming along fast as we go ahead.
But are you concerned that as time goes on and as his returns tend to dwindle, that he's become increasingly unsighted in his approach at the wicket? And other than that, maybe the odd cut-through point, there are parts of his game, let's say back behind square on the leg side and through cover and mid off, that seem to be disappearing.
Well, Doc, we've seen a lot of him in T20 cricket primarily, right? So, you know, we need to have a look at him in the longer version before we can really make that assessment again.
Mm-hmm. And Roger, has the team been selected?
No, the team has not been selected yet.
Mm, and you reckon we'll get it before?
The team is due to have a practice session this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the team is likely to not be announced until picked this later this evening and maybe announced in the morning, yeah.
I see. And everybody okay? No injuries?
Well, apart from Hetmyer.
Oh.
Right. You know, that's the main concern at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Just before, and of course, there's some.
Yes, Doc.
That's what happened to him, Roger.
Hetmyer was struck while batting.
Okay, and how is he doing?
He's coming along, but you know they're pretty particular and detailed concussion protocols that you know he has to undergo. So, yeah. So that's where he is at the moment.
Thanks. Okay, Andrew.
Roger, just before we go, how are you coping with the restrictions in New Zealand? Are you missing Guyana?
There are no real restrictions here in New Zealand. I think you move around freely.
You do.
You know, you're not wearing masks. You're asked now to wear masks when you travel on public transportation.
Okay.
A la aircrafts or maybe buses and trains and that sort of thing. But generally, people don't wear masks here. And, you know, it's thought of as COVID-free. I think they're very strict with their managing of it, as in the quarantine situations and that sort of thing. And generally, they've done a good job.
Mm-hmm. Finally, Roger, lead selector. What do you have to say to the people of the Caribbean? We played in a couple of T20 matches, the West Indies side beaten. We're looking forward to two test matches starting, as I said, local time tomorrow around 6 o'clock, Eastern Caribbean time, 5 o'clock in Jamaica. As lead selector, what do you have to say to the people of the Caribbean?
Keep the faith. Keep the faith. I think we still have to keep believing. I think the guys have worked hard during the lead up to this test match. They've had some good scores from a batting perspective. And I think the team is looking forward to putting it all together come the test match tomorrow.
Roger, I want to thank you very much indeed for coming through and talking to us. Always a pleasure to talk to you. And enjoy the rest of your morning there in New Zealand.
Thank you, Andrew and Dr. Ford, and all the very best to everyone.
Hey, take care.
Right. Thank you very much indeed for coming through and talking to us. 4341790. We're going to certainly get some reaction. You can give us a call and very much get involved in this discussion. So here's your time to call. Doc, having heard from the lead selector, were you happy what he had to say?
Well, I am happy to hear anyone's opinion, as you know, people are entitled to their opinion. I was a bit disappointed about that we couldn't get a clear idea of the ideal construct for the type of conditions that we're going to be in. It is clear that we need some faster bowlers, and we have to move away from the multi-purpose medium fast guys that can bat a little bit. And it is also clear that our batting needs some work. A lot of our players are very dominant to the leg side. And I believe in this modern cricket, that with the analysis that's made, it makes us easy prey for bowlers who think and who do the analysis. The team is in need of a great adjustment, especially in the bowling department. I think we have too many spinners that are, I guess you can call them rollers. They just bowl, they bowl, they don't really turn the ball. and you know there's no surprise, mm-hmm. and their batting may not be good enough to really say that they should be playing in the format in the quicker conditions in New Zealand and Australia. And I believe that we need different formats of teams for different types of cricket. If we were playing in the West Indies or maybe in India or someplace like that, I believe the brand of cricket and the type of cricketers we collect for T20 teams would be useful. But I think we need to think outside the box for Australia and New Zealand.
All right, let's go and take some calls now, Doc. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Hi, good night.
Good night to you.
Yeah, looking at the series that just went, you know, I sometimes wonder how the selectors take. No, in my opinion, you didn't have Russell, you didn't have Bravo, or you didn't have Jason Holder, and you carry a whole set of inexperienced persons up there. You could have looked at somebody like a Carlos Braffitt.
Ooh.
Because in a situation like that, he would have played at the highest level. I know you would have had, you know, some lean performances, but when you consider the others, I mean, at this level, I believe he kind of contributed. When you got some person like Keswick Williams, who don't really contribute much to the team, right? I mean, and then you got inexperienced Kemo Paul, and you have like Romario Shepherd. I believe that some person like a Carlos Baffett, you could have taken into consideration since Bravo, Russell, and Holder was not there for the experience. And you see what happened, right? And the bowling was all over the place. Carlos is economical at times, especially coming on to the death. And I'm sure he would have given a much better performance than what we saw there in those games.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Thanks for your contribution. We'll take another call, can we? 4341790. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Yes, good night, Mr. Mason.
Good night to you.
And company. First, congratulations on your achievement.
Yes, thank you very much indeed. Doc Ford, right. Did he, I thought at the beginning of the program he would have said something, but Doc forgot. These things happen. Yes,
and
Mason
Doc,
and guests.
Yes, and to the Doc. Keep up your questions and whatever.
Uh-huh.
I know that whenever you say something, I know you was called the devil advocate. And it proved to me that this administration is just like the same one. As soon as you start to press over things, mm-hmm. they think that you are against them. But you continue to keep up that good work.
Yep.
I believe the selector, when he started to talk about Jason Holder, it was a weak excuse.
Weak.
Talking about he wanted him to be this. When will last Jason Holder play? By the time he lost the captaincy in 2020,
mm-hmm.
they haven't played him. It has nothing to do with the four-day match.
Mm-hmm. And he's been elite.
He only said that because they did not pick Jason Holder. Jason Holder was supposed to go to the IPL. But after he did so well and they didn't pick him, he had to say something. It had nothing to do with that. And you asked a good question, Andrew. What about Simmons and Russell? They say that they didn't want to go in the bubble, and they're going in the bubble in Sri Lanka. West Indies will take a stand when Gale and these fellas done, when they don't have the other players that have this big following that has an outcry. You'll get to see. As soon as Gale and them done, West Indies will take a stand about players going off. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed. Continue to call us, 4341790. We want to also try to make a link with Toby Radford. And we also want, of course, to link with Sir Curtly Ambrose as well. But it's your time. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Good evening.
Good evening to you.
Stephen, I want to go a little further into the future.
Yeah, sure.
The truth is that our batting in Barbados, let me deal with Barbados first,
right.
is not up to test standard. The West Indies batting, except for Bravo, is not up to test standard. And unless we face the reality that we are not up to test standard in our batting, we cannot fix it. Now, I am going to suggest something which might be sung a little bit off the beat. Mm. I believe that we have to start right in the schools and our academy of cricket. And I will suggest that the Ministry of Sport or Education, whoever they assign it to, in Barbados, I'm dealing with Barbados,
mm-hmm.
be mandated to recruit a cricket batting teacher. I'm not talking about somebody who has a degree in cricket administration.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about someone who can somebody who can average 30 runs at least in test cricket, somebody who can average 40 in first-class cricket. And these people should be recruited as batting teachers. And if we have to go outside the Caribbean, so be it. But we have to start learning our young men in Barbados to bat, or we're going to keep... For the last 20 years, we've not had a batsman in Barbados. Yes, good middle order batsman you've had in Barbados. We'll see more earth. May he rest in peace. Mm-hmm. And his last good opening batsman we had, really, was Mr. Haynes. Our batting has collapsed, and we're doing nothing about it. Mm-hmm. Recycling the same sort of mediocre, and I'm serious about this, mediocre people, and calling them stars.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have to do something about teaching our young men to bat, and have to start in the secondary schools with batting teachers, not coaches, not games masters, batting teachers. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much for your contribution. We're going to take another call. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Good evening to you, sir.
Good evening to you, sir. Talk to me. Did you hear Roger Harper?
I'm very disappointed in Roger Harper's performance tonight.
Oh, really?
Because, let me say, you asked him some pertinent questions, and he sort of, like, was very diplomatic. He tried to duck them in a way. In particular, it is very embarrassing to see Andrew Russell playing in Sri Lanka and Simmons in Sri Lanka, mm-hmm. and these guys are not committed to West Indies cricket. West Indies cricket made these players who they are. And don't tell me that they got to make a living. Andrew Russell is not a hungry man. He's been playing T20 cricket for years in franchise cricket. He had a year of a ban. But what I'm saying to you, sir, is simple because I am very disappointed in this nonsense that we are putting up with all the time. We pick a rubbish team to send to New Zealand. Because, first of all, Keswick Williams had no right in New Zealand. Rodman Powell had no right in New Zealand. Brandon King had no right in New Zealand. What have Rodman Powell did in the CPL to warrant a player on the West Indies team? Iman had not even scored 100 runs. But he's the team walking about styling around the place. And he's no good. Keswick Williams can't get 10 wickets in CPL. He's no good neither. Brandon King had one good year. Since then he met Sri Lanka and he failed. He came back on the field again in CPL this year. But we're still picking again. You pick a rubbish team. What do you expect? It was very embarrassing. And Roger Harper feels to accept his responsibility. You ask him a question tonight. What are the repercussions that we can deal with Russell? Is he still be able to play for West Indies in the World Cup? You gotta be kidding. You can't be serious about this nonsense. This is rubbish. Absolutely rubbish what you hear Roger Harper coming tonight on the radio. Huh? And the world, the whole Caribbean to hear talking a lot of foolishness. Huh? This is then we get serious because you have players like I'll give an example. Ben Stokes were paid $1.9 million, I think it was in 2019. And England, he had to come over to play for England. He had to leave his contract. But we walking around with nonsense all the time, and players decide, to, as you said, as you use the old man term, pick and choose to play where they want to play. Andrew, this can't be right, Andrew. I've been around cricket long enough. These people should be gone and forgotten. You can't be playing Bravo. Bravo is a waste of time now. What are you telling me at all? Huh? This is foolishness. Embarrassing. And Roger Harper gets on the radio trying to be diplomatic and trying to hide and duck and all kind of foolishness about questions when it posed to him.
All right. Well, thanks for your contribution, Trevor Clark. Of course, we know him well, very emotional. Let's go to Antigua and talk to the great man, Sir Curtly Ambrose. Hello, Sir Curtly, how are you?
Andrew the Beast Mason.
Where are you? Where are you in Antigua?
Why I call you the Beast?
No.
That's not their business. That's between me and you.
I know that. How are you? How are you? Are you preparing for Christmas?
Well, there's not much preparation to do. You know, this COVID thing has everybody locked down a kind of way. So I'm just taking it easy, lying low.
Lying low, okay.
Stay safe and just relax.
Just relaxing. And how are the restrictions there in Antigua? Are you coping? Are you bored?
Yeah, well, of course. Well, no, well, I mean, you do get bored sometimes, but it doesn't affect me that much because I'm not really a party, late night, going out kind of person. So, you know, For me, it's not really a big deal. I can handle it. Some people can't, but I can handle it.
I see. Now, let's talk, of course, secretly about the T20 series. Very disappointing. What went wrong in New Zealand?
Well, Andrew, I only saw the game in bits and pieces. I haven't really had a chance to look at the whole, well, the two matches, because the third was rained out. I didn't get a chance to look at both matches in it in their entirety. Because, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, that's not me. I got to be sleeping, man. But I do see a bit, bits and pieces. And what I realize is that our bowling was way below par.
Yeah,
you
I see.
Know, from what I've seen is that, let's take nothing away from the New Zealand batsmen. They played well. But our bowlers played right into their strength, giving them balls to hit all the time. You know, the bowling was really below par. I can't recall seeing too many Yorkers bowled. It's a lot of length balls where they get carted all over the park. And then, as a bowler, Andrew, and you're getting hit down the ground, through the offside, through the onside, all over the park, it's a nightmare for a captain because they can't set field for that kind of bowling. So to me, what I've seen, the bowlers were very confused. They weren't sure what delivers the ball at what time of the game and just keep getting caught all over the field.
Well, this is certainly very serious stuff. Dr. Ford, of course, is with us, and we've now been joined by Toby Radford. Doctor, any questions for the great man, Sir Kirtley?
Well, good night. Good night, Sir Kirtley. I know that you didn't break your sleep up, but I was asking Mr. Harper his view on the need for faster bowlers that can bowl good bouncers and swing and move the ball in New Zealand and Australia. Do you think that we need faster bowlers in those conditions, or do we need the medium fast bowlers like Williams or like Rothman Powell and players of that ilk?
Well, in any team, and you got at least two quick bowlers, we're talking about quick, talking about 90 miles an hour plus, and you got at least two in your arsenal, it's always a good thing because batsmen are more cautious and, you know, guys who bowl in 90 miles an hour plus, right? But at the same time, do we have them in the Caribbean? I don't think we do. That's the thing, right? I mean, who we got? We got Gabriel, who's probably our quickest, you know, but we don't really have the kind of bowlers who can consistently bowl 90 plus miles an hour. So that is a problem. However, the bowler that we have, if you can bowl mid-80s to high-80s, that at least can help. But what I find with these bowlers, they don't seem to understand what is required at certain times of the game. They kept doing the same thing over and over, kept getting hit all over the park, and I don't see the kind of thought going into the bowling to do something different. So that, to me, is the major problem. Not so much the pace, but the thought process. You know, that to me is the biggest problem.
Well, we've been joined by Toby. Toby, how are you? What part of the world are you, Bangladesh?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
How are you doing? What time is it there?
Excellent. Yeah, I'm back in England now.
You're back in England?
14 days quarantining.
I've been
stuck in my house for 14 days. I've been allowed to go out today. It's like getting out of prison. It's actually been a good day for me today. But you have to do this 14-day quarantine when you return. But it really good, thanks. It was a great trip.
Wonderful. Well, of course, Toby Radford, the former West Indies batting coach. Toby, I mean, we got Sir Kirtley Ambrose on the line. What's going on with the West Indies cricket? You saw them in the T20s. What went wrong, Toby?
Yeah, look, I didn't see the matches. I've followed the scores and I've read sort of reports, so I've kept an eye on it. It looked as if the batting collapsed in the first game and then Pollard came in, played really well, got them to a good score, but the bowlers couldn't contain. and the second game at Mount Maunganui. We played there 3 years ago, actually. It's a very small ground and a very good wicket.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're slightly off, you go the distance. And it looked the other night as if, you know, they've gone for 230-odd, which is a huge score to chase. I agree with what Sir Kirtley was saying. I mean, I think the bowling, yes, pace is one thing, but it's, for me, it's the lack of control. They don't seem to be able to be consistent in where they land the ball. There's always one or two boundary balls each over. So as a batter, you're never really under pressure. You know, clearly New Zealand have a bowler in Ferguson who's got great pace, but he's also very accurate. His Yorker's at 90 mile an hour and he's up on your boots. He's got a quick bouncer. So it's about control. The other thing I would add in, some of those bowlers in that West Indies team, it appears to me, are bowlers who bowl really well in the Caribbean, where the pitches, you know, can be a little bit up and down. They are generally slower pitches. So if you take a Keswick Williams, you know, Keswick is a great change of pace. He's got a good ball in at the hips. He's got a good slower ball. But on flat pitches, on really good pitches like they're going to play on in New Zealand, you know, you probably need that extra bit of pace or you need that extra bit of control. And I think what you can get away with on some Caribbean pitches, you can't necessarily get away with on the really flat pitches when you go abroad.
Yeah, totally. I agree. Good point. But how do you think, what do you think, where do you think we are in terms of our T20? I mean, we have the Vanguard that would have won the last World 20, and some of the residue that would have even won the initial one. But we're in a stage where we have an aging group of former players that served us well and an up-and-coming group. How hard is it to get that blend?
Well, I think the difficult thing is, I mean, look, I don't know the ins and outs of selection and behind the scenes, and you may have discussed that earlier tonight. But you don't always have the best 11 on the field. I mean, you know, Andre Russell isn't there. There are other players who you would, if you were picking a World Cup team to play in a World Cup tomorrow, I'm sure there are players who would be there. I don't know why Evan Lewis doesn't play. He seems to decide sometimes he wants to play, other times he doesn't. You know, I don't know what goes on in terms of selection. I mean, that's clearly maybe a discussion that did go on earlier tonight. You can tell me. But what you want to see is the best 11 on the field. Now, if that best 11 then doesn't compete, then you're concerned. But at the moment, you're looking and saying, well, actually, if there was a World Cup in the next couple of weeks, I'm sure Andre Russell would appear. I'm sure some of these other guys would play. And then it's a very different looking side, isn't it? You know, when England traveled to South Africa for these last couple of games this week, they took pretty much their best team and they won 3-0. But they traveled with their main team. South Africa pretty much put out their main team. It seems to me the West Indies, with their T20 format, you don't always get the best 11 players on the field. You might get five or six of them, and then you get a few others who are decent, and they're filling in. I mean, not disrespect to people, but what is the best 11, and is it the best 11 that could possibly, that those islands could possibly put out at the moment? I'm not convinced, but you might know better than I do, you know.
Well, we're all puzzled.
Let's go back to Sir Kirtley. Sir Kirtley, I mean, you were part of a strong West Indies team. When you see these performances, you must be quite unhappy. Do you cry, Sir Kirtley? Sir Kirtley? Has he left us? Sir Kirtley, where are you?
Well, you do have...
Oh, we got Tony Gray in there. Tony, good old Tony Gray. Hello, Tony.
Tony, do you cry? Sure.
Good evening to everyone. Good evening to you, Andrew, and well done with the award, Gladstone Holder Award.
Yes, for the 3 p.m. He did a show that real impression.
Yes, and of course, Tony, it's always good to have you. I know that you would never be Prime Minister of Trinidad and Tobago, but you may have become the Deputy Prime Minister. All right, we got Sir Kirtley Ambrose on the line. Sir Kirtley, as I was saying, I mean, you were part of a tremendous West Indies side. And when you see these performances, you must be quite unhappy, Sir Kirtley. Sir Kirtley, where is he gone?